Blog Talk Radio.
Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for another day. I tell you, God is a good God, and I'm so excited because his mercy endured forever. This is Dr. John Newsom, the pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center Church International. I just want to welcome you to Faith Today, welcome you to the show, the program today. I just know God's going to speak to your heart. He's going to bless you, because I know that signs and wonders follow the preaching, the teaching of the Word of God. I'm the pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center Church International. Come by and worship with us at 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive in Houston, Texas, on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. and at Wednesday Bible studies at 7 p.m. I love to see your face in the place. Well, if you've got your Bibles and you're ready for the Word, I'd like to say hello to Apostle Hunter. Hello, Apostle Hunter.
Hey, how you doing, my brother? How's everything going with you?
Everything's going wonderful. It's going wonderful, and I just thank God for you. I tell you, mighty man of God, you're a blessing, and I'm glad God divinely brought us together years ago. I just thank God for you, Apostle.
I thank God for you. May God bless you and keep you. I thank God for you.
Thank God for you, Apostle. Well, you have your Bibles, those who are listening all around the world. I'd like to say hello again to you. You have your Bibles. Turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 147, and let's read verse 11. That's Psalm chapter 147, verse 11. And the scripture says, "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy." The Hebrew word for take pleasure is rotsah. Rotsah is the rotsah is the Hebrew word for take pleasure, and it means to be happy with. It means to be pleased with. It means to be well pleased with. It means to give pleasure. So you mean to tell me that we have the ability to make God happy? We can make God happy. And that's the word God told me to bring to tonight, is how to make God happy. So many times we focus in on asking God to make us happy, we forget about God. We forget about Yahweh, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's a person. He's a person. And what about his happiness? He focuses in on us and concentrates in on us to give us richly all things to enjoy. He works at making you and I happy. Well, let's make God happy. Let's make him happy. What about God? What about God? Have you thought about lately how God feels? Let's make God happy. The scripture right here tells us that we can do something that caused him to have pleasure. That's to be happy. To take pleasure in Hebrew, the Hebrew word is rotsah, and it means to be happy with. We can make God happy. We can give him pleasure. And so the message is how to make God happy. Number one, we can make God happy by walking by faith. By walking by faith, we can make God happy. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. We can make God happy by walking by faith, not by walking in negativity, not by walking in gloom and doom and depression and discouragement. No, that's not what makes God happy. What makes God happy is walking by faith. Look what the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 11, and look at verses 5 and 6. Verse 5 says, By faith, Enoch was translated. Oh, glory to God. He was translated that he should not see death. He was walking with God one day by faith, and God took him. He took him. He didn't die. Enoch didn't die. They still haven't found his body today. He didn't die. God took him without taking him through death. He didn't take him through death. God took him. He didn't die. Enoch didn't die. It says by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. God took Enoch. Why did God take Enoch? It goes on to say, for before his translation, when? Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Oh, glory to God. God took Enoch. Why? Because Enoch pleased God. How did Enoch please God? I'm glad you asked. Verse 6 tells us clearly how he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. You see, Enoch was walking how? By faith. He pleased God, and then God translated him. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Enoch pleased God by walking by faith. And he pleased God so much that God took him. Enoch didn't have to die to go to heaven. He didn't have to die to go be with God. God took him because Enoch walked by faith. Walking by faith makes God happy. Just like he took Enoch and brought him with God, when you walk by faith, God will take you out of sickness. He'll take you out of disease. He'll take you out of lack. He'll take you out of family problems. He'll solve your family problems for you. He'll solve your marriage problems for you. He'll solve your business problems, your ministry problems for you. He'll take you out of that bad situation. How? When you walk by faith. When you walk by faith, because faith pleases God. It makes him happy. We're talking about how to make God happy. I tell you, if you want to make anybody happy, you ought to want to make God happy. You ought to want to make him happy. All powerful, he's almighty. He's the one who that has the power to lift you up. He has the power to make things better for you. You ought to want to make the one happy that's feeding you and clothing you and taking care of you. He's making you happy, so you ought to make him happy. He's making us happy, so we ought to want to make him happy. We're talking about how to make God happy. Number one, you can make God happy. How? By walking by faith, believing God's word, speaking God's word, acting on God's word. The ABs of faith. What's the ABs of faith? Asking in the name of Yeshua. Believe that you receive. Confessing, speaking in agreement with the word of God. Demonstrating, acting on what God has said, acting and demonstrating and moving out by faith, acting on what God has told you to do, demonstrating, and then expecting a plan of action, the wisdom of God. That's the right application of the knowledge you have. Expect a miracle from God. Expect the strength to endure until change comes. Expect the favor of God, walking in expectation, and then forgiving. Those are the mechanics of faith. Those are the ABCs of faith. Walking by faith pleases God. So we ought to practice faith and walking by faith every day, believing and speaking and acting according to God's word every day, knowing that it pleases God. It pleases our Father in heaven, Yud Hey Vav Hey, Yahweh. It pleases Yahweh. It pleases him. How to make God happy? Number one, by walking by faith. Number two, by practicing godly living. By practicing godly living, we can please God. Look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. By practicing a godly living. Am I saying to be perfect? No, I'm not saying be perfect. I'm saying practicing godly living. We ought to be getting better. God will help us to get better. I know I'm better than I was 10 years ago. He helped me to be better. He helped me to live more godly as I practice living godly. That makes God happy. We ought to want to practice living godly because he's done so much for us. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and let's look at verses 1 through 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, how you ought to walk and what? And to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Look at here. When you walk and practice holy living, when you practice godly living, you're going to abound how? More and more. You're going to increase more and more. For you know what commandments we have gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your what? Sanctification. That you should abstain from fornication. That's having sex without marriage. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. We ought to practice living godly. We ought to practice living godly. And in verse 1 of chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says that he'll cause us to increase more and more. Why? Because we're practicing godly living, and practicing godly living, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:1, it pleases God. It pleases him. So, number one, how to make God happy? By walking by faith. Number two, by practicing godly living. Number three, by prospering. By prospering, we can make God happy. Oh, glory to God. I know that those who preach against prosperity, I know they don't like that, but it's in the Word. Prospering makes God happy. All you ministers who I know, I'm not mad at you. Maybe you just don't know, or maybe you just haven't gotten the revelation of prosperity yet. But I'm here to tell you, and I'm going to show you in the Word, that prospering, when the servant of God prospers, it pleases God. God takes pleasure in us prospering. That word take pleasure means is rapsot in Hebrew, and it means to be happy with. It means to be pleased with. I'm telling you that our prospering, service of God, our prospering makes God happy. Prospering makes God happy. When the servant of God prospers, it makes God happy. Look at Psalm 35. Back it up with the Word, Newsom. Back it up with the Word. That's what I was always told. Back it up with the Word, Newsom. So I'm going to back it up with the Word. Psalm 35 and verse 27. The scripture says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath what? Pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Oh, glory to God. God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. All of us who serve God, it makes God happy when he sees us prospering. He takes pleasure. The Hebrew word is rapsah. He becomes happy. He's well pleased. It gives him pleasure. It makes God Almighty happy when he sees his servant prospering. Oh, glory to God. We're talking about how to make God happy. Number one, we make God happy by walking by faith. Number two, We make God happy by practicing godly living. Number three, we make God happy by prospering. By prospering. John 10:10, Jesus said, I come in nothing, the thief come in nothing but to steal, kill, and destroy. But he said, I've come that you may have what? Life, and have it more abundantly. To the overflow. To the overflow. God wants us to prosper. And when we prosper, it makes him happy. It makes him happy. Number four. I mean, you can't bless anyone if you don't have anything. The Bible tells us over in Thessalonians, he says that he gives us all things what? Richly. For what? To enjoy. he prospers us so that we can enjoy ourselves. He wants us to enjoy ourselves. He wants us to be happy. And it makes him happy. It makes him happy when he sees us enjoying ourselves. That's why he said, I give you all, richly all things to enjoy. All things. He makes us rich so that we can enjoy. He told Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless you. So what? That you can be a blessing. See, we can be a blessing. We can enjoy and we can be a blessing when we prosper. It makes God happy to see his servants prospering. Now, number four, we're talking about how to make God happy. Number four, by repenting. By repenting. That word repenting means to have a change of mind. Change your way of thinking. The Hebrew word means to turn, the word repenting in Hebrew means to turn around. The word repent in the Greek, it means to change your mind, your way of thinking. See, because God knows when you change your mind, it won't be long after that you'll change the way you do things. You'll change the way you do things when you change your mind. That's what it means, repent. Jesus came on the scene saying, repent for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, at hand means right now. If you want the benefits that come from the kingdom of God, you're going to have to what? Repent. You're going to have to change your way of thinking. You're going to have to change your mind. The scripture says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Repent means to change your mind. It means to turn away. It means to turn away from the way you're living this wrong. Turn away. It means to turn away from that. Turn away. It means to change your mind. Repenting makes God happy. Look at Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18. We're talking about how to make God happy. One of the ways we can make God happy is by repenting. Repent. Paul said also, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. John the Baptist said, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. Peter said, repent, repent. I mean, it's all throughout the word of God. Jesus said, repent. Repenting makes God happy. Look at Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 31 and 32. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 31 and 32. The scripture says, cast away from you all your transgressions, all your sins. Cast it away. Whereby ye have transgressed, you crossed the line. You crossed the line, man. You need to turn around and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death. That death right there is talking about destruction, pestilence, disease, disaster, death. All that leads to death. Of him that died. He said, I don't take no pleasure in the death of him that died, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, he says what? Turn yourselves. In other words, repent and live ye. Repent and live ye. You see, repenting makes God happy. He wants to see us living and prospering. So he says, repent so you can live, so you can live the abundant life, so you can live. That makes me happy. Your prospering makes me happy, not your destruction. So repenting makes God happy. And then my last and final point, we can make God happy by cheerfully giving. By cheerfully giving. The scripture tells us over in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 7, that God says he loveth the cheerful what? Giver. He loveth the cheerful giver. He loveth, not hated. He loveth the cheerful giver. It makes him happy. He loveth the cheerful giver. Giving makes God happy to the point where he says, when you give, he said, it'll be given to you. How? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall God have men pour into your bosom. Why? Because you made them happy when you were a what? Cheerful giver. God loveth a cheerful giver. How to make God happy? Number one, we can make God happy by walking by faith. Enoch walked by faith so much with God that one day God took him, translated him. He didn't even have to see death. God will take you out of any horrible situation you may be in. He'll take you out of that mess if you walk by faith. Why? Because walking by faith makes him happy. How to make God happy? Walking by faith. Number two, by prospering. God, he takes pleasure, Rockstar. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. He's happy with the prosperity of his servants. To take pleasure means to be happy with. Number three, I skipped one. Number one, by walking by faith. Number two, by practicing godly living. That makes God happy. Number three, by prospering makes God happy. So we need to stop preaching against the prosperity message. We want to make God happy, and he wants his children, his servants, prospering. He died. One of the reasons he died was not only for us to have eternal life for him, but to prosper in every area of our life. How to make God happy? By walking by faith, by practicing godly living, by prospering, by repenting, having a change of mind, turning away from living the wrong way, your way, doing your thing. And number four, by cheerfully giving. And this is how we all can make God happy. Apostle, glory to God.
Amen. Amen. Praise the living God. Oh, I tell you, what a message. What a message. What a message. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man, I was sitting back. I was saying, good God Almighty. And that's what God wants from us all. That's what God wants from us all. He wants us to just come well with what he wants to do. He wants us to prosper. And a lot of people say, well, I don't even know that. Yes, you did. If I might say this, biscuits cost $1.70, a little roll thing they got. Eggs cost $3 almost. Milk costs how much? You need some money.
Yeah, come on now.
That's right. you need some money, and money don't grow on trees.
Try not having it. See how far you get.
You ain't gonna get too far. You ain't gonna go. Matter of fact, what I would say is like this. When we come to that state where Jesus, when the disciples said, "Lord, the people been following us all this day, and you know we ain't got no food to feed them," and here's our faith that as he was preaching tonight, I heard these words, and God said, "Give me what you got." And every man of God, every woman of God ought to say, "Give me what you got." And when it was given to the hands of Jesus, for God took it and saw how many people were fed. Can you imagine the same thing about the money when he said, "Go down to the brook and you'll find the money we need and pay our taxes." Somebody else say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I know we got the apostle, Pastor Irwin is going to be on the line. Pastor, are you there?
Why, certainly. Oh, praise God. It was a good message.
Glory to God.
Very good message.
Amen.
Yeah, you know, there's so many people out there that are hurting right now. It's just because they have lack of faith and not wanting to understand the Word of God and doing it their own way. And, you know, even myself, guilty at that at times. You know, we kind of step out and we realize, go, whoops, and have to come back. Have to repent and turn ourselves back over to the Lord and put ourselves back in His hands and walk on.
We all have to do that, Pastor.
Yes.
Amen.
You know, praise God. Well, listen, tonight, you know, I'm going to talk a little bit. I'm going to start out in Exodus 20, I think 18 through 20. And we'll see where we can go from there because, you know, it kind of goes along with what you said, Dr. Newsom, in trusting and having faith and believing, you know, because in Exodus 20, as Moses came down from the mountain, he brought the Ten Commandments. And, you know, I was sitting there thinking about that. He was just 40 days up on the mountain and Ten Commandments. And you know, I got thinking, I said, you know, I wonder if the Lord sat there on the first commandment. He spent 4 days in depth with Moses and telling him who he was and all about himself and how to you know, the love no other God but Him. And then it goes on to the next one and the next one. It spent 4 days on each of the Ten Commandments and explaining in depth what each of the commandments were. And Moses related those into the laws. You know, I mean, I just because I don't think he sat up there for 40 days and they played pinochle and shot pool and did whatever else. You know, it's beyond that they would probably, he got in real depth with Moses in telling him what to expect in the laws. But we're going here, like I said, let's go down here, starting 18. It says, and all the people saw the thunder and the lightning and the noise of the trumpets and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed themselves and stood far away. In other words, they backed up. And fear came over them. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let us not, God, speak with us unless we die. You know, God really wanted to have a relationship with his people, but they feared him. Yes, we are to fear the Lord. We are to give reverence to the Lord. You know, and it sometimes it bothers me that, you know, in giving reverence to the Lord as to who he is. I hear a lot of people say, my daddy God and hey pops, and, you know, he's my pops in heaven, you know. Yeah, he wants to have a relationship. But I know that there's a lot of ministers out there and a lot of men out there in their own household at some point in time when the child sit there and got a little bit too fresh or too friendly, that dad didn't stand up and say, excuse me, who do you think you are? And I've got a feeling God is about to do that to a lot of people, not for the fact for the sake of that he expects, he wants reverence. We respect the Lord for who he is. There's nothing wrong with having a relationship and thoughts that we can love a God like that and a God could love us as much. But we've got to respect and have the reverence. And what happened was that even here, the people feared God. And all he wanted was a relationship. Let's go back in here. It says, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear be therefore your faces, and you and sin not. In other words, he was saying that, you know, if we stand with the Lord and the Lord stands with us, we shouldn't have to fear him, but just to follow his words and follow his direction and the life that they could have had in everything that they were doing. You know, many times I know for a fact we can change the atmosphere with our own words. God has given us that through his word, through his covenant with Jesus. God has given us the covenant that in through his Ten Commandments, through his word, as long as we believe and trust in him. It says here in Mark 11:22. It says, Jesus said unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and thou shalt, wait a minute, I'm getting my glasses here. I'm sorry, I've just lost the point here. Well, yeah, if it says, be thou removed, and it should cast itself into the sea. But, you know, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. That's what God has given us. God has given us all power and everything else unto us. We need to reverence God for what he's given us. We need to be able to sit there and start seeking the will of God. And it goes right back to the point upon the mountain where the people have feared the Lord. There's so many today that fear God in the wrong respect. They fear God because they fear that on what they're doing, it doesn't coincide with their lifestyle. They walked away. They walked away from the covenant of God. They walked away from God's mercy and his grace. They fear God to carry on their own life because of the lifestyle they desire to live and want to have. But that if we would sit there and go back to the Lord and stay with the Lord, the lifestyle that he has for us, we can prosper in all things in our lives. We can prosper in our marriages. We can prosper in our finances. We can prosper in the businesses. We can prosper in the ministry. We can prosper in everything that we do. There's nothing that we can't do. There's nothing that we can't become. And it starts with faith and believing in the Lord. It's faith and believing and trusting in God. Yeah, we fear God for the retributions that will follow if we fall into sin. And yet, though we repent, we still have to hold, we're held accountable for the consequences. But if we continue to walk in faith and believe, we change the atmosphere by saying, thank you, Lord. We change the atmosphere for the miracles that God has for us by saying, thank you, Lord. Jesus, before he healed anybody, before he fed anybody, before he did any kind of a miracle, the first thing he said was, thank you, Lord, knowing that God was going to answer him. His Father in heaven was going to answer him. That he knew that he knew. And yet there was a people that were around him when he went into the house with the child, the girl that had died, and they were all in their mourning. They were all in their mourning in distress. And Jesus walked in and says, don't worry about it. She's just asleep. And they started laughing at him. What he had to do, he had to cast out that negativity and start walking with those who had faith, and they stood together and began, and that atmosphere, it changed the atmosphere. We change the atmosphere of our lives through gratitude. Gratitude will determine your attitude. Now, you write that one down. Your gratitude will determine your attitude. the more grateful you are in everything that you do, the more grateful that you know that God is going to do something for you, and standing in faith and believing, because you know what we say here on earth, it determines how it's going to respond in the heavens, just as much as what we speak here on earth. It changes the atmosphere. When we pray, Jesus, the Holy Spirit is in us. So here on earth, we speak from our heart. We speak from the Spirit of God that lies within us. And it changes the atmosphere for those things to manifest here on earth. Yet at the same time, as we begin to speak from the natural, because we don't see these things coming, what it changes, the atmosphere in the heavens, and that will manifest on earth. Many a times, as children of God, we screw up, we mess up, because we speak against our brothers and our sisters. We speak against family members. We speak against the politicians. We speak against all these things, and all these things begin to manifest, and we see it. And we can see it manifesting in the world. We can see it just exploding in the world. And it's multiplying because there's more and more people who are losing faith, who are losing the ability to really see what God has for them. They're falling away. They're seeing and they're turning to their own desires and not the desires of the Lord. And the desires of the Lord is for you to prosper. But we take it out of His hands. And we start to work it ourselves. And I can tell you right now, because I can speak from experience, because I stepped out and I started working for myself. And I wasn't prospering. But every time I step back into faith and believing in the Lord, He will take care of things. Everything is covered. Everything is paid for. Everything. It comes, and how it comes is miracles after miracles after miracles after miracles. I've sat there and seen healings. I've sat there and I've witnessed and I have laid hands on people. I have seen deliverances. I've seen multitude of people coming to the Lord, changing their lives, walking in the Spirit of God, and staying in the Spirit of God, that you begin to prosper in the Spirit of God. In all things, the covenant that you have with the Lord, the covenant that you have with the Father, through the Holy Spirit that dwells within you, that is where it manifests from. That's where prosperity manifests from. That's where it all comes, through that of the covenant of the Lord that lies within you. And that we change the atmosphere through our gratitude for thanking the Lord. And having reverence unto the Lord. And knowing who He is. Those people who at the mountain when Moses came down feared the Lord. And they ran. And they turned. And then they spent 40 years in the desert. Feared the Lord. But they didn't. They feared the Lord from that of a natural point of view. And not that of a spiritual point of view. And fearing God as to who He is. And not having that the ability to reverence a God that they didn't know and understand. And that God, that same God who sent His Son to the cross so He could have a covenant, so He can have a relationship with those. They lost out. They lost out big time. And there's many people today that have fallen away, that have turned their back and walked away because they lost faith. They lost hope. And yet they can turn right now and turn back to God and restore that faith, restore that hope. They restore that. Yeah, there are consequences for our actions. But you know, at the same time, God is a God of mercy and a God of grace. And that God is a forgiving God. And God will make all things new in your life. You're having trouble in your marriage. You're having trouble in whatever it is. You know, when you repent and you ask God and you become one with Christ once again, you come into the order and alignment of that of the Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and you bring your life into that alignment. God will make new. What he makes new, he doesn't restore your marriage. What he does, he puts a new heart in your wife or a new heart in your husband, that you will begin a new relationship with one another, that you will be able to continue on in the covenant that you made before God in your marriage. You can sit there, and it doesn't matter if you're in any part of your life, whether you're single or what it is, in your business and everything you do, if you have the attitude of the gratitude and knowing and saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for making a way. Thank you, Lord, for the prosperity. Whether you see it now or not, as long as you continue to thank God and you continue to praise God and you continue to thank God and knowing and believing and trusting what you're doing, you're stirring up the atmosphere. You're changing that negative, what is on earth, into a positive in heaven, and that is going to flow back down, and it'll change everything for you. But what, like I said, most time what happens is we pray and we expect, you know, McDonald's, you know, or Burger King, have it your way, that way at all. Yes, sometimes there's instant miracles, and yet sometimes there's a delay. And sometimes in that delay is because God is trying to get someone to invest in you, someone to trust in you, someone that God has given them the provisions to give to you, and yet they say, no, why do I want to do that? Because they had lost trust in the Lord. They would say, what do I want to do this for? I think I spoke on this last week, and for some reason I got to bring it again because I know that somewhere somebody needs to hear this. I very seldom repeat a lot, but I know that because what they did, God has to go to someone else. He has to sit there and get someone else to do what he's asked the other person to do that refused. Then he has to change the atmosphere around that will bless everybody in that atmosphere in order to you to receive, so that everyone will receive the blessing. But it's not without God's mercy and his grace. And that was not without the fact that we need to understand that nothing is accomplished in our lives without having the grace of God, that without his joy in your life. You can walk with the devil. The devil will lie to you. He'll take a carrot and a stick and hold it out in front of you. And you'll run down that road. And at the end of that road is a dead end or a cliff. And you will fall off of it. But in Christ, clear from those. He'll steer you clear. You're wondering why this didn't come. It's not that he doesn't love you. It's not that he doesn't want you to have certain things. He loves you enough that he knows if that's going to harm you, he's going to steer you from that. And if you're quiet and still, and you'll be able to hear his voice, he'll begin to show you and change your heart and go after that, what God has for you, which is plentiful. It is more than enough. It is everything you desired. It's everything you wanted. It is everything, because he will not break that covenant with you. Many times we walk away from that covenant. Many times we blame God for our mistakes, for our misjudgment. We blame God because we follow the carrot and the stick instead of following after Christ and believing and trusting and thanking God every day. Every day you get up thanking God for his mercy and his grace, for thanking God and believing and trusting and thanking God, knowing that what you ask for, He will make a way for you to have it. He will make a way. If we have to change the atmosphere, and it's through our gratitude, it's through our thanking God, as in believing and trusting, and allow Him, His joy, to give unto you the desires of your heart. The desires of your heart are the things that He put into your heart, not the things that you want, but the desires. We need to distinguish the fact and the difference between the two. We need to be able to understand what is the giving of life, the giving of the necessity of the things that we need. With this, we know that we need finances. We need shelter. We need food. We need to be able to take care of the things that God has given us. We need to be able to sit there and take care of all those things. And God will make a way. He will make a way for everything that He has planned for your life. What we need to do is sit right now and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your plans. Here's mine. I'll exchange my plans for your plans because I know your plans are right. I know that your plans for my life are more beneficial to me than my plans are. I'm asking you right now, for those who are are in trouble with their finances, that you're in trouble in your homes, you're in trouble with your faith and believing and trying to understand and trying to do it your way. If you will lay it down right now, you lay it down right now before God, and you tell Him to take your plans for His plans for your life. And I guarantee you, you will be happier. You will be more respondent. You will have more joy in your life. You will have peace about what it is you're doing in your life. Yeah, there's days we'll be troubled. There are days that some days are better than other days. That's a given. That's life. And we have to be able to be able to forge through that. We have to sit there and know. We have to distinguish it. And everything that something becomes bad, it's not God attacking you. Yet a lot of times we blame God for the attacks, and it's not God. It's that man with a carrot and a stick wanting to pull you back away to get you off track, to get you going down the other road, and you miss out on your prosperity. You miss out on your prosperity in Christ. You miss out your prosperity of the Holy Spirit. You miss out your prosperity of Father in heaven. You miss out on the plans that God has created and desired for your life. You missed out on everything. And as long as you can draw a breath, you still have the opportunity today to be able to have God's desire for your heart and for your life. You need to ask Him. You know, I was at a conference the other day, and they asked me, said, will God hold off things? And I said, yes. Because you have too much in your way, too much of this, too much of that, too much of everything else. I says, what would you do if God, you ask God to use you, and He take away your house, take away your car, He take away your finances, and leave you standing on a street corner with nothing but the clothes on your back? Will you still serve God? That's having faith. That's trusting in the Lord. That's doing His will. Would you still have this faith? Will you still have it? Will you still have it to do the will of God? Once you come to that decision that you're willing, God will give you what he has planned for you. He will give you what you've been asking for. He will give you because he knows he can trust you. He knows that you're a willing vessel and that he knows that he'll be able to use you. But many times when we get to a point like that, we go, oh, wait a minute, wait. I didn't sign up for this one. No. If God was to tell Moses he was going to walk around a mountain for 40 years, you think he would have done it? If God was to sit there and tell you what you're doing and what you can have, are you willing to exchange it? Or are you going to continue to sit there and walk around your mountain? Are you going to have the faith? Are you going to continue to walk in the direction that you want to go? Are you going to stop? Are you going to lay your stuff down and believe in the Lord and take what he has for you with thanksgiving? That you would say, thank you, Lord. Begin to shift the atmosphere in your life. Begin to shift all the atmosphere in your life to you to receive the miracles that you've been looking for. It's in your attitude of your gratitude. It's not in selfishness. It's not out of despair. It's out of faith. It's out of the love of God. It's out of the fact that you would rather give up everything you have to serve the Lord. Are you willing to stand in that gap? You know, even though we say we give up everything, we gave up this, we gave up that, we gave up this, you gave up nothing. Because everything belonged to the Lord in the first place. But he said, he will give you the treasures and the pleasures, and he will give you the desires of your heart. If you're willing to give up your old ways and receive what he has for you today, you need to check your heart. You need to be able to sit there and check what it is you're doing. Are you walking after God? Are you walking after the selfishness of your life? Are you seeking God with your heart? Or is God just your sugar daddy? You need to determine today how you want to live the rest of your life. You need to determine today whether you want to serve the Lord or are you going to serve your flesh. Are you going to serve what it is that you're doing? Are you going to sit there and miss out on the glory of God? I know there's many out there that are seeking miracles. I know there's plenty out there right now are wondering, why, Lord, why, Lord, why, Lord? Why haven't you given me this? Why haven't I been praying and I've been praying and I've been praying and I've been asking and I've been seeking, Lord, and I've been asking. But how's your heart? How is your heart? Are you seeking after the Lord for his will? For the covenant of that of Christ, of the Holy Spirit? Or are you sitting there, are you thinking only of yourselves, of what you can have and what you can get? Today you need to decide. Today you need to ask yourself, and nobody else can answer this question but you. How am I going to live the rest of my life? Once you determine that factor, set a plumb line for your life, either in Christ or in the world. You set a plumb line before you that you're either going to serve the Lord or you're going to serve man. God has given you that choice today. You need to seek the truth. You need to seek the understanding. You need to seek the wisdom of the Lord. You're not going to be able to make it through without the power of the Holy Spirit. You think you're going to walk on water. You think you're going to be able to have all these things, and you don't need God. Just like those guys that sat there and they stepped away and they said, Moses, you talk to God for us because, you know, hey, we don't want no part of this. Hey, you know, you be the mediator for us. But Jesus sat there and opened up that veil so that you can go before the Lord. That you can go and settle it between you and God. Jesus made a way. It's your choice. It's your choice today. For the miracles of God. Or the life here on earth. Your destiny, God has left into your hands. Today is your choice. And how you want to live. Today. You have to make that decision in what direction you're going to go. Are you going to believe in the Lord? Or is he going to be your sugar daddy and want? Or are you going to sit there and be a child of God and says, thank you, Father. If I have nothing else, I have you. If I have nothing else, I got your promise for salvation. If I have nothing else, I'll spend eternity with you. That, if I have nothing else, Lord, I have your promise. God is no respecter of person. But he made a rich man rich, he can make you rich. He has taken rich men and made them poor in order for them to see the truth of the Lord. He has taken the Pharaoh and stiffened his neck. And yet he's taken strong men and broken them down and made them weak. There's nothing that God can't do in this world that's his. There's nothing he can't do in your life if you're willing to follow him. If you're willing to trust him, if you're willing to put your life in his hands, there's nothing he will not do for you. It's up to you. It's up to you to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's up to you to be able to have faith, turn around. And I know if you walked away, to turn around and turn back and repent unto the Lord and ask for forgiveness. And get it straight and get back with in his covenant. Today, he will make all things new again in your life. That decision is yours and yours alone. How it is that you're going to answer him is up to you. Father, right now, for anybody who's listening to this program who is wondering, is lost, who stepped away. Anyone who right now, Lord, that will come before you, humble themselves before you right now, Lord. Father, I ask that you have mercy on them, Lord. I ask that you be with them, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you begin to direct them, Lord. I ask that you lift them up into your hands. Father, I ask right now for open eyes, for open ears, and an open heart. You are the surgeon. You are the giver of life. You are everything, Lord. Father, those who come to you, you said you would not turn away. Father, if they come before you right now and ask Jesus that come into your life, you said you will receive them. Father, I thank you, Lord, for all those that you bring into our lives, Lord, into the kingdom of heaven. Lord, I ask that you strengthen the pastors, Lord, and the ministers that are working in the fields right now, Lord, that are out in the highways and the byways, that are calling out to the lost and to the broken. Father, I ask that you would strengthen them, Lord. I know that you made provisions for them, Lord. And I know your will for their lives, Lord. And I thank you for it, Lord. I ask for your hand of protection upon them, Lord. I ask, Father, right now, Lord, for anyone who comes before your throne. Father, I ask for your mercy and your grace, that your love will pour out upon them, and that the angels will begin to sing once again in heaven, and that your joy and your blessings be upon them. I ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, praise God.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen. Is Dr.
Amen.
Hunter there? How are you doing tonight?
Wonderful.
Oh, praise God, praise God. I don't know if my message went off the air or not.
Yeah, it was it was good touching message on tonight. Hallelujah.
What?
It was good message on tonight.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. So, I believe you're on. I don't know where Dr. Hunter is, so I'm gonna sit back and listen
Amen.
To what you have to say. Praise
Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
I'm behind you.
Amen.
I got you. Amen. Go ahead. Go ahead, Abraham.
Hallelujah. We thank God on tonight, hallelujah, for his goodness and for his mercy. Hallelujah. We thank God for the words that have been gone forth on tonight. We thank God for all those that on the radio that are hearing the word on tonight. We thank God for his mercy enduring forever. So I want to talk tonight, Dan, about the mercy of God. We know so little about God's mercy, his compassion. For the word say, for his compassion fails not.
Yes.
So we thank God on tonight. Father, we come tonight before you with thanksgiving and with praise. We thank you, Father God, for wording my mouth, Lord God, these lips of clay, Lord God. We ask, Lord God, that you touch, heal, strengthen, guide, and direct us in the way that we should go through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. The mercy of God. Psalms 145, verse 1 said, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Hallelujah. Psalms say, I will extol thee, O God, O King, and I will bless your name, not only just on Sunday, but forever and ever. And then he said, every day, verse 2, say, every day will I bless thee. Every day will I bless you, the psalmist said. I will praise your name forever and ever. I will praise the name of the Lord forever and ever. Talking about the mercy of God on tonight. God's mercy. And when we think about mercy, we think about compassion. We think about the love of God. He loved us so much that he sent his son, his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. That's mercy. See, mercy is the love of God. And God's love never changed. That's why Hebrews 13:8 says, hallelujah. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. See, God is not a fickle God where, see, man is fickle. One day he's up, the next day he's down. Hallelujah. So a God is a God that he's the same. And he said his compassion, fear not. Look what he said. He said, I will praise your name forever and ever, verse 2. And verse 3 said, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. God's greatness is unsearchable. And he said, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Declare. The word declare means to speak it out, to let somebody else know the greatness of God. To tell it. I think about the song they said years ago, how great thou art. Glory to God. How great thou art. And it says, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. He said, I will speak of the glorious honor. I will speak, I will tell of your glorious honor, of your majestic and of the wondrous, of your wondrous work, the wondrous work of God, the salvation of God, the redemption of God, the love of God, the word of God, the righteousness of God. I will tell of God's wondrous. And he said, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majestic and of thy wondrous work, he said. He said, but verse 6, and men shall speak of the might of the terrible acts, and I will declare your greatness. I'm going to tell of the greatness of God. Everywhere I go, saying hallelujah, I'm going to tell somebody about the greatness of God. I'm a witness to somebody, hallelujah, and tell them, not about the church, not about the pastor, but I'm going to tell them the greatness of God. How great thou art. Hallelujah. And they said, they shall abundantly utter the memory of your greatness, of your great goodness, and shall sing of your righteousness. The abundance, utter the memory of thy greatness. Thy greatness, and shall sing of your righteousness. The righteousness of God shall sing of God's righteousness. God is a righteous God. God is a just God. Hallelujah. And then it said, the Lord is gracious. The psalmist says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He's full of compassion. Slow to anger and of great mercy. God is full of compassion. He first of all, he's a great God. He's gracious and full of compassion. He's full of love and he's full of mercy. Slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. He is a good God. Not to some, but the word says he's good to all. And his tender mercy, he said his mercy is tender. His tender mercy are over all of his works. Not some of his works, but all of his works. All your works, he said, shall praise thee, O Lord, and your saints shall bless thee. Your saints, you see, we are saints of God. Saints simply means that we have been set apart. We have been set apart to praise and to worship God, to glorify him, to magnify him, to lift up his name, that men, women, boys, and girls can be drawn to him. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, then I'll draw. Can't draw with no pageant come to show up. You can't draw with no suppers, and you can't draw, hallelujah, with no raffles and glory to God. You have to lift up the name of Jesus. Tell of the goodness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Lord is good to all, not some. He's good to all. That's why the words say he reigns on the just and on the unjust alike. Hallelujah. I'm glad he rained on me. But I was out there in the world doing all kinds of things. Hallelujah. He reached way down and picked me up out of the muck and mire. And that's why I praise him. That's why I love him. That's why I can say that God is a good God. Hallelujah. We say, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, not some, but to all. And his tender mercy over all his works. All, T-H-Y, all your works shall praise thee, O Lord, and your saints shall bless thee. They shall speak, hallelujah, this is what it says, the saints shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. Hallelujah. He didn't say talk about no man. He said talk about the glory of God. Got to take ourselves out of the equation. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's about his death, burial, and resurrection. It's to speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. Not by might nor by power, but it's by your spirit, said the Lord of hosts. To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majestic of his kingdom. Talking about the mercy and the compassion of God. The writer says, hallelujah, God will have mercy. Watch this, on whom he will have mercy. He will have compassion on whom he has compassion. I'm so glad that, hallelujah, I'm going to talk about me. I'm so glad that he had compassion on me. When men try to write you off, saying God still have compassion upon you. Hallelujah. Even when we sin and come short of God's glory, he still has compassion and love upon us. His love don't change. Man and woman love, it changed, but not the love of God. I'm so glad that God is faithful. Hallelujah. He said, all your works shall praise thee, O Lord, and the saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of your glory. They shall speak of your glory, of your kingdom, and talk of your power. I want to go back to that for a moment. Say, to make known to the sons of men, to make known to the sons of men, hallelujah, glory to God, acts and the glorious majestic of the kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, my brothers and sisters. And your dominion, your power, endure throughout all generations. Hallelujah. Not when we got saved. His power is still working today. The Lord is the Lord upholding all that falls. Hallelujah. The Lord upholding all that fall. He lifts up. He raised up all those that fall. All those that stumble. All those that come short of God's glory. He said, he raised them up. He hold up all those that fall and raise up. He raised up all those that be bowed down. Look what it says, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Hallelujah. There's a due season. Everything, hallelujah, it comes about in due season. See, God knows each and every one of our due season. Amen. Thou open thy hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. That's why the psalmist said, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you have breath in your body, you ought to be able to praise God. His mercy. I praise him because of his compassion. I praise him because of his love. I praise him because of his faithfulness. I praise him because of his righteousness. Why the psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. Glory to God. And then the psalmist said, I will, hallelujah, And then the songwriter said, oh, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. And then he said, hallelujah, he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Then he said, hallelujah, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. His mercy is, hallelujah, his compassion, his love redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. And then he said, the Lord is righteous and all of his works, ways, and holy in all of his works. The Lord is righteous in all of his ways and holy in all of his works. It said, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. You just can't call upon the Lord. Say, you got to call upon him in truth. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Call upon his name in truth. He will, not man, he said, he will fulfill the desires of them that fear him. That word fear don't mean terrified of him. Mean reverence, respect, honor him. He also will hear their cry. Glory to God. God said he would hear the cries of the one that reverence, respect him, and he will save them. What you say here, the Lord preserves all them that love him. Everyone that loves God, the word the writer said, he will love them that, hallelujah, you preserve them that love him. But all the wicked will be destroyed. You say, my mouth should speak. My mouth should speak praises of the Lord. And he said, let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. God is a good God. He's not only good, but he's magnificent. He's awesome. He's glorious because of his love. The love of God. The love that was shed abroad upon each and every man, woman, boy, or girl. One thing about this thing is that God has no respect of person. Hallelujah. God has no respect of person. You can walk around and thank you, God's favorite, if you want to. I see so many people saying, so many churches acting like they God's favorite. They have no favorite. He loves all of us the same. Hallelujah. Check it out. Read it for yourself. Hallelujah. He loved the sinner man, sinner boy, sinner girl. Hallelujah. He hates the sin. He don't hate the individual. And we have to stop saying glory to God. He said, through love and kindness have I drawn thee. I thank God because his mercy and his love and his compassion, he drew with me. Hallelujah. And to the body of Christ. Through it all, through his mercy, hallelujah. He's a gracious God. He's a good God. He's a faithful God. Talking about the mercy of God, hallelujah. How good he is, how awesome God is. Look at Psalm 106 there. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Oh, he said, give thanks unto the Lord for his good. God is a good God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm so glad that God is God and not man God being God. Because God, how only his compassion, his love for us, fail not even when we come short. Even when we miss it, God still loves us. God still loves us when we come short. Glory to God. All we have to do is repent. Hallelujah. Ask him to forgive us. Hallelujah. First John said, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, that's mercy, from all unrighteousness. And the word said, it don't stop there, said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And then say, we make God a liar. Hallelujah. I've heard people saying, I've never done anything. I've been a good girl all my life. I haven't done nothing. Well, you make God a liar. The Bible said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All, not some, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even believers, even as being a believer, a Christian, we still come short of the glory of God. But he still loves us. He still loves us. In spite of it all, because God is love. And he said, beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. See, we have to learn how to love one another. The mercy of God. Luke the 6th chapter and 36th verse, and I'm closing. He said, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. See, we have to be merciful just like God is merciful. Hallelujah. He is a merciful God. I like Colossians, the 3rd chapter and the 12th verse says, put on therefore. Hallelujah. He says, put on therefore. That the elect, that word elect means chosen. Put on the elect of God, holy. Holy. We don't talk about holy too much any longer. Hallelujah, no more. Holy. And what is it? And beloved, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, what is it? Long suffering, forbearing. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, glory to God, even as Christ forgave you, you also do you. So also do you. James, the 2nd chapter and the 13th verse, for he shall have judgment without mercy. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that he have shown no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. The mercy of God. Matthew 23:23 says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. He said, you hypocrites. Watch this here. He said, you hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weighty matter of the law, judgment. And he said, mercy and faith. Hallelujah. He said, you avoided to do the things that are right and righteous. You omitted to do these things. Humbleness of mind and meekness and long-suffering forbearing. Hallelujah. Look what he said. Having omitted the matter of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith, these are you have done and not to leave the others. Hallelujah. So God has given us a mandate to love one another as he has loved us. Just wanted to touch on the mercy of God on tonight. The mercy, God's mercy. Hallelujah. Just like he had mercy on each and every one of us. We was out there saying, glory to God. But God saw fit to send his son, his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him, and all we have to do is believe in the son, and we will have everlasting life. Glory to God. And the word said, hallelujah, in the 17th verse of the third chapter of John, he said, Jesus did not come into the world to condemn us, but through him we might have life. Zoe, life. Zoe, life. Hallelujah. Everlasting life. Eternal life. Hallelujah. But see, we're still going around condemning one another, criticizing one another. Glory to God. The same mercy that God had for us, he had for that sinner man, that sinner boy, sinner girl that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's what we should be doing. Hallelujah. Evangelizing, telling them about the goodness of God. I don't need you evangelizing to me. I'm saved. I love the Lord. You're supposed to be evangelizing, hallelujah. Say, we have church evangelists that don't go no further than the church. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, don't evangelize to me, then. Glory to God. Evangelize to somebody out there that don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. That's the mandate of the evangelist. To tell somebody about Jesus. The whole ministry of an evangelist is salvation. Get saved. Get delivered. Get saved. That's the evangelist. Hallelujah. That's what God called the last evangelist to do. Get saved. Thank God on tonight for the word of God. Give God the glory and the praise. We thank you, Father God, for all that you've done, doing, and going to do in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your compassion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
Is it the bring on tonight? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Have your way. Let the Holy Spirit use you.
Have your way, God.
Good word.
Thank you.
For everything that God has done for us. And the more we believe God, the more we can say thank you, Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Somebody say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. And one thing I will say tonight that when God speaks through the ones that have been appointed to do, I thank God for it. Because of the time, here's what the Bible says to us. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there is no power but of God. That's a true fact. But the power that ordained of God, whosoever that resisted the power, and there are a lot, as the evangelist said, there are a lot of people in the world today. Have I been victim at one time? Yes. Resisted the power. Resisted. But I thought what man was doing, now what man doing, I'm not going to be a part of it.
Amen.
I'm not going to be a part of it. And I will say this, for rulers are not of a terror, but of good works. But to the evil, wilt thou then be not afraid of the power? Only power I'm afraid of the power that God the Father possesses. I know the devil can send demons from hell and cause every kind of destruction, but as long as I'm covered by the blood of Jesus, the devil can do nothing wrong to me as long as I stay in God's presence. And so tonight I want to thank God once again, and I think the ladies are going to sing for us in a few minutes, and then we're just going to give God the glory. So everybody just hold on, please. Amen, and praise the living God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's see. Amen. Go ahead. So I know I've got this thing. Go ahead and speak, sister. You got a song to sing?
Yes, sir.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Down at your feet, oh Lord, is the most high place. In your presence, Lord, I see your face. Down at your feet, oh Lord, is the most high place. In your presence, Lord, I see your face. There is no higher calling, no greater honor than to bow and kneel before your throne. I'm amazed at your glory, embraced by your honor. Oh Lord, I live to worship you. Oh, down at your feet, oh Lord, is the most high place. In your presence, Lord, I see your face. There is no higher calling, there is no greater honor than to bow and kneel before your throne. I'm amazed at your glory, embraced by your mercy. Oh Lord, I live to worship you. Ooh, 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 ooh. Oh Lord, I live to worship you.
Yeah, worship you. Amen. Praise the living God. Well, for
Amen.
That night, and I know that everybody needs some prayer because we on the radio, this is the hour after all the preaching has been done, and the Bible says, and God's going to do it by signs and wonders. And I know out there somebody knows somebody that needs prayer. Somebody needs saving. Somebody needs to come closer to the walk with Jesus. And one of the things I was saying to me and to you and all of us who believe, our time is now. We see some things happening in the world we now live in. We see some of the prophecies being fulfilled right now. I don't have that time to spend with foolishness. I have time to spend with God. And so I say to everybody, you know anybody that's out there on the line behind the scene needs a prayer? Anybody got a testimony they want to give? Because the line is open for the next hour. So anybody, we've been doing well tonight. Anybody, go ahead.
I was just reading an article. We're getting close to the end times. You know, the Bible talks about China and Russia coming together, and it's exactly what happened. China has joined the fight in Libya. Or not Libya, but Sudan. China has joined forces with Russia. They're sending 5,000 troops and air defense to fight the ISIS Libya, not Libya, but what the country, but anyhow, where President Sadat is. So anyhow, you know, we're living in the end times. We're getting there. They've joined forces, and it's a biblical saying that they are going to join forces. So, today is a day that for your salvation and knowing that biblical prophecy is coming to fulfillment. And so we need to be able to be aware of our surroundings and what's going on. And truly, this is, you know, the last three messages that have been out tonight is to repent, to get yourself back in order, come back in alignment with the Lord. And from my heart, I was starting to preach one thing, and God took me into something else, and it was strictly knowing that there's people out there who've turned their way because the lack of the stuff that was coming in their lives, well, God had a purpose for that. And that's the, you know, your salvation is more important right now than anything, because as things grow, it's going to progress and it's going to continue to accelerate, and it's going to get faster and faster and faster. And there'll be a day when you will be no more time to repent. So right now is that time.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody got a prayer, a testimony they want to give while we're on the air? Praise the living God. Amen. Well, one of the things I want to say tonight, and what has happened to me, what I've seen, I know I come out of the political arena, but I've mostly been involved in the spiritual arena. And I'm going to do a study on nothing but the women of God. Women who love God. And you know, today, when I look at the word of God, women of the Bible, these were women who loved God. And if you go to Acts 16:13, I want you to see something. Now, I'm just sharing with you. I'm giving a testimony. Acts 16:13. Go with me to Acts 16:13. Right quick, and I'm through. Acts 16:13. Amen. So if you will go with me to that book, I'm getting there. Acts, the 16th chapter. Okay, John, where you at? Acts 16. Acts 16:13. Acts 16:19. Acts 16. Acts 16. Acts 16:13 says, and on the Sabbath, this is where the first convert was in Europe. It was in Europe. And on the Sabbath, we went up out of the city by the river side, where prayers were made, and we sat down and spoke unto the women which resisted thither, was there. Now, when women heard what God is saying, and looking through what God is saying, in this hour we live in. Don't you know women got some power and authority? These were women who spoke the word of God. And most of now I find men don't like to hear women preach or teach in the pulpit. It's in the Bible. I've been doing a Concord study. They are prophets. Prophetess, they're called in the Bible. I know where I found that in the Bible, my study. Over 17 or 34 of them. I find out about Hagar, Hannah. I find out about Lot's wife. But what I'm saying is that these women still live today. They still live today. And if we take a notice of what women can do, not to try to put women on a pedestal, I'm saying we need to pray for the women also, because they have a key in the kingdom as well as we do. When Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, he just didn't send it to Willie Hunter. He says everyone who could receive it. They can be a pastor. They can be a prophetess. They can be a teacher. They can be an evangelist. They can even be one doing what God has said do. But there is a strong pushback. Yes, we're living in the last time. Every day we live, Jesus said the last day. We're not living that last day. We're living that last day now. We don't know what we got for tomorrow. Right now, while we're on this radio station, say what you got to say and be what you got to be, because I know what the Bible is telling us to do. And I just want to share it with you tonight. But I want to thank God for y'all tonight. Anybody else? Welcome. Tomorrow, now, I want you to know that we got some people last night that's going to be on tomorrow. Teresa, Patrick, how you say her name, brother, pastor, how you say Teresa?
Teresa Penchashansky.
Petasansky. That's she's going to be on tomorrow night. We're going to see the young man from Tyrol, and we're going to have a lady going to be on. Her name is Ruth, and she's going to be on tonight, Wednesday night. So I'm going to ask y'all to come in at 8 o'clock with me, and every day let's give God the glory. I want to thank you, and remember, I love you, I love you, I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. See you next time.
Good night.